Welcome to the OncoLens podcast series hosted by Dr. Lijo Simpson, Chief Medical Officer and co-founder of OncoLens. Listen and learn from cancer experts he meets with during this unprecedented time of COVID-19.
Welcome, everybody, to the OncoLens podcast series. I'm Dr. Simpson, practicing medical oncologist in Atlanta, Georgia, co-founder and chief medical officer at OncoLens. I'd like to welcome Katie Stone, the CEO of Komen Atlanta, to our podcast today. Welcome, Katie.
Thank you for inviting me.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us. I can't wait to learn more about Komen Atlanta's urgent request to the community. So let's start with just a little information about Komen Atlanta.
Sure. Komen Atlanta was established in 1991, and we work on all sides of breast cancer with an ultimate goal of a world without breast cancer. So we fund cutting-edge breast cancer research that will affect the lives of women all over the world. But the bulk of our work here in Atlanta is focused on the women of Atlanta. So we provide access to services, education, treatment assistance for thousands and thousands of women every year right here in our own community, many of whom would not otherwise have access to these services. It's wonderful work, and we have great support from the community, and we're really making an impact. I'm so honored to do this work.
Fantastic. As the largest name in breast cancer research and advocacy, probably in the U.S., how are you seeing the COVID-19 pandemic's effect on patients with breast cancer?
What a great question. I'm so glad you mentioned advocacy, too. On the national level, and even on the local level, the pandemic has created an opportunity for us to have deeper discussions about what the impacts are of something like this on breast cancer patients with our legislators. So we are really pushing every day, particularly with the federal legislation, to make sure that breast cancer patients and the medical community in general is not left behind. Locally, we're seeing some very different things. Many women, I'm hearing every day from women who have lost their jobs as a result of the pandemic, who are concerned about losing their insurance. We're seeing some evictions. We essentially have sharpened our focus during this time on the needs of women currently in breast cancer treatment right now, making sure they stay in the continuum of care, because as you know, Dr. Simpson, once they fall out of the continuum of care, their survival outcomes are much worse. So we're doing things like providing financial assistance so that they don't have to decide between paying for a treatment or a prescription or putting food on the table for their children. We're working on some transportation options, but really focused on what women right this minute need when it comes to the breast cancer impact of the pandemic on their lives.
This is truly amazing what we are hearing right now. And clearly, a lot of us in the breast cancer field do look to see what Komen Atlanta is doing locally to guide our response also to this particular pandemic. Have you had any particular strategies that you're recommending to providers or to patients to help them tide over this period of the pandemic?
Yes, and note that what I'm about to say has been done after research and talking to our local partners to see what they are seeing, because we want to make sure that what we push out makes sense in the community and is reactive to what someone like yourself, who really is on the front line seeing these patients every day, would otherwise suggest for your own patients. So for women of average risk, we are asking women to suspend routine screening mammograms for now until it's safer to go back into the hospital, and also to free up those medical practitioners who would otherwise be doing screenings to do other things that may or may not be COVID related. But when it comes to talking with our physicians like yourself who are seeing these patients, we've seen a lot of uptick in telehealth. In fact, I was speaking just this morning with a dear friend who was on our Komen board, who is a current breast cancer patient, and she's having a phone call, a Zoom call, with her physician tomorrow. And she had such comfort in that because she's still able to see the face of this trusted physician and hear directly from her about how her treatment is going and what she can do during the pandemic to make sure that she doesn't have to pause her treatment.
truly amazing stories that we are hearing directly from the front lines of our cancer patients. And as you were talking, I was thinking through my mind, it took us decades to get to the point to recommend and to an extent forcefully push screening mammograms for women aged 40 and older. And now in a period of few weeks, we are starting to tell women to go back on those screening recommendations, obviously with the caveat being this is a temporary recommendation. Have you seen any pushback or any anxiety because of these recommendations from a patient standpoint?
The anxiety that I have seen has come from women who are continuing to practice good breast self-awareness at home while they are in isolation, and they're finding symptoms that potentially could be breast cancer, and they're concerned about being able to go in to have those diagnostic follow-ups. That's where I'm seeing the concern. Most women understand that it's time to pause the hospital service, like the screening mammogram, in favor of a self-breast exam at this time and for a short period of time. But one of the other things that we've been working on right now in terms of the pandemic is making sure that women who have symptoms who need immediate diagnostic workups are able to access those, because we don't want them to wait until the pandemic has subsided. We want to make sure that they get in and get seen about right now, because as you know from your own patients, and your own experience, and you're a physician, and I'm not, but we want to make sure that women are detected with breast cancer as early as possible so that their treatment can be more effective.
Yes, yes. And we are hearing from a lot of providers also who are extremely anxious about having to defer, I'm going to do air quotes, you cannot see me, elective mammograms and breast biopsies, mainly because of the worry of late diagnosis and adverse outcomes, as you were pointing out. That is a concern that the provider team, the patient team, the nurse navigation staff are all sharing. And we are trying to stay up with all the guidelines and recommendations as they come out. But obviously, a lot of work needs to be done there, and a lot of communication has to happen with the patients, because if we are nervous, imagine how nervous our patients are going to be about these situations. So that is great. Any other, reactionary measures Komen Atlanta has taken in these unprecedented times?
Those, the ones that I talked about before, really are the focus. And as in a typical day, we would, the breadth of our services would be much more broad, but we really are narrowing the focus in the short term to make sure that we're taking care of women who need us right this minute and who are in treatment right this minute. I suppose one other thing I could mention is we are pushing out to our community through our Facebook page and through our other social media and email, just general tips about wellness while you're at home. And I don't know about you, Dr. Simpson, but since I've been in my home office, I get fewer steps in per day as I did when I was working in the office. So trying to push out some complimentary exercise classes, for example, which we just started this week, just wanting people to not forget about how important it is to take care of themselves.
That is phenomenal, and that is great to know that these resources are available for our patients, something that I think all of us can start pushing out to reach out to the Komen Atlanta Facebook and other social media pages. That's wonderful information. Thank you.
So, Dr. Simpson, what are you seeing from your patients? What are you hearing from them? What are their fears and anxieties, and how are you working through that with them?
That's a great question, and a lot of that is a work in progress. Obviously, this is a global pandemic, and it has affected all aspects of cancer care, both from the eyes of a patient and from the eyes of a provider. Today, we are making decisions that we would not have done even a few weeks ago, and are using novel platforms like telemedicine to deliver this particular care, again, platforms that we were not using even 5 weeks ago. This is important because the data from the Ground Zero cancer hospitals are telling us that cancer patients, if they acquire COVID-19, have at least a 3.5 time higher risk of complications. And so it's very important that we keep our cancer patients away from harm. In addition, we are fine-tuning our discussions with patients much more now. Like if you cannot get like a biopsy, will a liquid biopsy suffice? We are now getting prognostic testings for breast cancer and predictive testings for breast cancer done much earlier than we would have done in the past. This is very complex because we have to individualize the treatment discussions. Like if you have a patient who can potentially be cured, is there a rationale or a counterweaning argument to holding treatment now because of the risk of acquiring an infection? And that's an extremely complicated discussion to have with patients. And if that part of it was complex, imagine having that particular discussion over a telehealth platform. One of the advantages of telehealth is it allows us to keep the communication going, but one of the several disadvantages of telehealth is we spend the first 5 minutes doing tech support, and we feel that connection is much harder to build on a telehealth visit, especially for our patients with cancer, wherein there's so much, you know, you have to comfort patients and their family members throughout this journey. So telehealth is also a work in progress. Guidelines have been released by the Commission on Cancer, American College of Surgeons, the American Breast Surgical Association, but these guidelines are numerous, they're very complicated, and the providers are trying to stay ahead of these guidelines so that we are updating our patients appropriately. You know, we used to discuss all our cancer patients in multidisciplinary conference. That has changed because of the needs around social distancing. And so all these conferences have gone virtual, which is a good thing. And I think in a setting where we are making decisions that may not have the best evidence to back it, it's very important to have multidisciplinary cancer conferences to discuss all these patients. In the setting of breast cancer, we're trying to stratify them, just like the College of Surgeons has mentioned, into priority A, priority B, and priority C, and then tailor treatments from there. But it is so complicated when you try to distill it to the particular situation of the individual patient. Just to give you an example, one of our surgeons had to take care of a quarantined nursing home patient, had to diagnose a breast cancer based on a image done by teleconferencing, and without a biopsy have to start treatments for that patient that was not involving chemotherapy. Something that 5 weeks ago we would never have done, but in the new setting of the pandemic, a multidisciplinary conference would agree with. So those are some of the just a few of these practice changes that we are watching from the front lines, from the standpoint of a treatment recommendation for patients.
I find that so interesting because we are hearing so much about the unfortunate patients dealing with COVID and their, you know, hero medical providers. But what we're not hearing a lot about is how that's affecting patients who are sick and need care who do not have COVID. So this perspective that you've just given was eye-opening for me.
Yes, yes. And there are several stories like this, and everything is individualized when we try to make a decision for the patient. And I think it is so important for multidisciplinary conferences to be the venue to make these decisions and then communicate that to the patient. Also, it allays the provider concerns, but most importantly, it helps the patients and the patients' families feel like an extended care team is there to take care of them.
What is OncoLyn specifically doing in this environment to help cancer care teams?
This is a phenomenal question. So OncoLens is a tumor board and a decision support platform. Tumor boards are meetings where in every case of cancer is discussed by a large team of medical oncologists, radiation oncologists, surgeons, pathologists, radiologists, clinical trials nurses, genetic staff, cancer registry staff. Everybody sits together and then talks about each patient with cancer that is being discussed at a tumor board. This is an extremely complex process run by the hospitals, and it takes around 8 to 10 hours for each cancer conference that is run. If you're a patient, we always recommend that you request your treating provider to present you your case at the local tumor board and get everybody's opinions. That makes sure that all the specialists are on the same page and everybody is discussing your case, and that way you can come up with like the best opinion vetted by multiple providers. Ongolence helps our hospital partners to reduce the time required to run these conferences by up to 90%. So you can then have many more conferences and discuss many more patients and have decision support around clinical trials, NCCN guidelines, ASCO guidelines, all being brought up for discussion at the right time, at the right place. We think that in future, all complex cancer patients will go through a multidisciplinary cancer conference. With COVID-19 and social distancing, all the tumor boards had to go virtual. Oncolens has a virtual tumor board module, and with this technology, your providers can all discuss the same patient with cancer while they are practicing social isolation in their own offices. In addition to help our cancer programs during these unprecedented times, we even released the platform for free to our new customers.
Wow, what's the feedback been like?
So far, it's been amazing. Our customers are learning how to adopt new technologies very, very quickly. We are impressed at the amount of learning and how important it is to bring the right information in front of the providers at the right time. We are learning how to mute people so that the discussions can continue. We are figuring out how to collect quality metrics around these documentations so that our hospitals can acquire the accreditations around the Commission on Cancer, breast cancer accreditation, rectal cancer accreditation. So we're learning all about that as this platform is rolling out to our current and new customers.
Wow. Nice. Do you advise patients who are newly diagnosed to make sure that their cases are being brought before a tumor board?
Absolutely. At least the question has to be asked of the treatment providers to present this case at a tumor board. Tumor boards are being held regularly, and if patients request their case to be discussed at a tumor board, most of the time the providers are more than glad to oblige. And then what will happen is that case will be discussed by a team of docs, including multiple oncologists, radiation oncologists, and multiple specialists in the field of cancer. And then the treatment option that is distilled out of that conference reflects the combined opinion of several years worth of experience of taking care of similar patients with cancer. So it is a great idea to request your case to be presented at the local tumor board.
Wow. We get more things that we're learning out of this pandemic, and it's been interesting to see how quickly people are coalescing around technology as a way to move forward, not only just in the short term, but in the long term. And it sounds like that Ongolens is poised and ready for that.
Yes, we have always felt that every patient, every care team, and also Ongolens as a company shares a similar vision of a world where every cancer patient has access to the best possible minds, therapies, and innovations in care. But that has to happen in time to make a difference for that particular patient. And this will be, we feel, one of the main ways that will help us contribute towards Komen's goal of reducing the number of breast cancer deaths by 50% by 2026. So that is our effort to help you also.
Well, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that as a breast cancer survivor myself. And I know how important partnerships and community is in reaching goals like this. And it is indeed a bold goal, but it's not one that Komen can achieve on its own. We have to do it together as a community. And I'm so happy to know that Ongolens is focused on that goal and supporting it too, and with putting the patient first.
Absolutely. And sometimes it needs that bold statement written out there by a major organization so that all of us can kind of align around those bold goals, and then all of us are going to work towards the same endpoint.
That's wonderful.
Thank you so much for joining me today and for all that Komen Atlanta does for the cancer community.
I've enjoyed my conversation with you. I've learned from you and admire the work that you're doing. And thank you so much for this wonderful dialogue.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Ongolens podcast series with Dr. Lijo Simpson. For more information about Komen Atlanta or OncoLens, please visit their websites at komenatlanta.org or oncolens.com. Thank you.